Psalms 59. Another thing, too, that you might need to note is that when the Lord moves, like He did this morning, and He gives blessings, don't be a bit surprised that you won't be tested this week. So just don't be surprised. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. That's just the way it is. As your faith is fed, your faith will be tested. So I just felt impressed to make us all aware of that so we won't be surprised when the test comes. And let's just make sure that we just try to stay God conscious. Do you understand what that means? Just try to stay God conscious. Even in the trials and when you're tempted to get in the flesh, try to be conscious of God. You know, that He's got a purpose, that He's trying to demonstrate His grace and ability and power in your life. Where I mess up is when I am self-conscious. That's when I mess up, is when I'm not thinking about God and what looks good to Him and what makes Him look good, but what do I want, you know? And that's usually when I get in a mess. All right, we're going to read the entire Psalm, 17 verses. And we'll start a reading in verse 1. Deliver me. Well, let's read the heading. I can't pronounce some of those names, but those headings are in your Bible for a purpose. How many's got a heading over Psalm 59 in your Bible? Okay. Need to get you a good study Bible if you don't have that. I think about every Bible will have that heading. Now what that does is that sets the background for the chapter. And when you read that heading and understand that what is taking place here is when David is hemmed up, as it states there that when Saul had sent and they had watched the house to kill him. So he was under the very threat of his life. He was hemmed up at the house with Saul's army all around watching the house. Probably had it surrounded. I mean, just try to imagine what a bleak, impossible circumstance that David was in. Looked like no way out. Surrounded. They had been ordered and dispatched to kill, no doubt, kill David. Well, it said here, watching the house to kill him. He knew they were hostile. He knew their intent. He knew they were aggressive. He knew they meant business. What are you going to do when you're hemmed up? What are you going to do when it seems that there are no way out? What are you going to do? Well, let's see what David did. What was the first words in the first verse? Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. First thing he did was pray. First thing, you can tell your spirituality by how long it takes you to pray when problems come. David, soon as he looked out the window and saw the difficulty and the distress that he was in, he hit his knees and began to address his only hope and his only help and his only defense. Here's verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Here it is. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. And save me from bloody men. That is, men that wants to be shedding blood. They got blood in their eyes. Amen. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, not for my sin, nor for my sin, O Lord. David is saying, I didn't cause this by wrongdoing. Amen. Make sure if you're going to have trials that it's not self-provoked battles. Make sure they're not of your own making. A lot of my difficulties I've encountered in my Christian life has been because I was in the driver's seat and because I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing or whatever. But he's stating here that this is taking place in his life, not for his transgression nor for his sin. Verse 4, they run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressor, Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. Well, what kind of noise that was? Growling? Who knows? They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go around about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. In other words, David said, Lord, you handle them. I'm in a mess and I can't handle them, but you can handle the heathen. Amen. You can put them in derision. Because of His strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. There it is the second time in this chapter. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. That is, God answers prayer. God gives you the desires of your heart. Verse 11, slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that the God, that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. Well, I like that. The Lord just showed me something right there. He wasn't praying to get out of this situation for His glory. He was wanting even in his situation for God to act, for God to do what He sees necessary so that those people would know that He is God. Amen. Unto the ends of the earth. Verse 14, and at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. David said, I know what they probably are going to do. They're going to be doing what he said here, running up and down, going to and fro and all that. He said, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do, but I will sing. Can you imagine that crowd around the house watching to kill him? Had it surrounded. And they was wondering, I bet David's in there drinking Maalox. I bet he's in there calling the psychic network. I bet he's in there worried sick, biting his fingernails off. And all of a sudden they heard him first and they said, I believe I hear something. What do you think he's doing? Well, it sounds a whole lot like he's praying. Amen. And then a little bit later on they said, hey, I hear something else. It sounds like he's singing. Boy, that gives the devil a nervous breakdown. When the heat comes on against God's people and they start praying and praising, oh, that bothers him. He don't mind for you to pout. He don't mind for you to doubt. But he don't want you to praise the Lord and pray, which Paul and Silas did in the jail in Acts 16. But he said, but I will sing of thy power. Not my position, but of thy power. I will sing aloud. That's why I say they probably heard him in there. He wanted them to hear it. He wasn't ashamed of his Lord. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast, here it is again, thou hast been my defense. That verse David is saying, the whole background and the whole reason that I can sing in the storm is because of my defense. That's what David said in that verse. I'll read it again in case y'all overlooked it. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for, that is, listen, fixing to give you the reason I can sing. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. When do you need a defense? When do you need God to be a refuge? In the day of your trouble. Amen. I like what David said just a few chapters earlier. Just a few chapters earlier, David said in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help. Very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. Here David is saying here that he's been my refuge and my defense in the day of my trouble. Now don't forget, God's people will have trouble. Here's David. The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. And if he had trouble, I promise you, you and I will have trouble. But here's the consolation. If David had God to be his personal, on time, sufficient defense and refuge, then I can count on it also. Because really, of the covenant, based on the covenant, you and I are the children of David. Our Savior is called the Son of David. Amen. That might went right over through there. But notice verse 17. Unto thee, O God. He starts out the psalm praying. He ends the psalm praying. Unto thee, O my strength. Boy, I like that. You ought to underline that and shout on it. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So there it is, three or four times. Verse number 1, verse 9, verse 16, and verse 17. In one chapter, David addresses the Lord as his defense. And well, there's a lot of other verses that goes along with that. Let me read some of them in case you're just wondering if this is the only chapter that deals with it. Now, there's more than what I've got. Let me just read some. Psalm 7 and verse number 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Now let's make a comment right there on that verse. Not everybody can have Him as their defense. It said there in Psalm 7, verse 10, my defense is of God which saveth the upright in heart. Those that are upright in heart can count on Him being your defense. Amen. Amen. And then here's Psalm 59 and verse 9. We've done read it. Verse 16 and verse 17. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Here's you another one. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. That word safe is the same word as translated defense. My safety is His defense. His defense means my safety. David said, oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Safe. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Same word as defense. Well, I like this one. In fact, I'm going to turn and read the very next verse. Psalms 20 and verse 1. I want you to listen to this. Psalms 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says in verse 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." Next verse says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." So you can't shout too much about verse 1, the God of heaven defending you, the God of Jacob defending you, if you're not associated with the sanctuary, because that's where the help's going to come through. Come from.
Amen.
A lot of people's wanting God to bail them out, but they don't want to have much to do with Him. Amen. I mean, you would have thought, unless something major had to come up, that everybody that was here this morning would have been back tonight. I mean, just out of plain gratitude to show the Lord they were appreciative for the great visitation from the Lord's presence in the house of God.
Amen.
That's the way I look at it. And I may be wrong. I just look at it that way. Amen. I think that's good to show the Lord you want more. Here's another verse, Psalm 62, verse 2. "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Well, I like that, don't you? I like that. He is my defense. Amen. Psalm 62, verse 6. Again, "He only is my rock and my salvation, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." So he said the Lord, again, is our defense. Psalms 89:18, "The Lord is our defense." Psalm 94:22, "The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." Psalm 31:2, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, but thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me." Well, I like that, don't you? A lot of verses having to do with the defense of the Lord. Back in Psalm 59, in verse number 9, David is saying, "Because of his strength." Now that "his strength" there is referring to the enemy. "Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense." Now, David started out the psalm by saying, "Defend me. Defend me. Lord, I need you to defend me." Boy, I'm glad he's in the defending business. That word "defend" means to be set on high, to be exalted, or to be exalted, to be placed in an inaccessible place, such as on a cliff. In other words, out of reach, where man can't get to you. We'll deal with that a little more in a minute. But this word "defend," I like doing word studies, but this word "defend" is in the imperfect mood expressing an incomplete action, which means David was saying, "Lord, defend me and keep on defending." An ongoing action. Not a complete action, but an incomplete process. Something that is ongoing. So as long as we're in this life, as long as we have an enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil, we're going to need defending. Amen. You did know I identified the flesh as one of them. Your flesh is probably one of your greatest enemies. Most of us have lived defeated days, not because of a personal encounter with devils or demons, not because even the attachment of the world, but really because of the flesh. But anyway, let's look at this word. I want you to notice in verse 1, where he said, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God." I like that. "Defend me from them that rise up against me." I noted there just a simple thought there as I read that David put in the same verse the words "my God" and "mine enemies." You say, preacher, what is that going to do? Well, it makes a big difference when you put your enemies up beside your God. See, it makes a big difference. David was getting help right off the bat. When he was putting his big, hostile enemy that was watching his house to kill him in the same verse with his God. And when you look at your enemy beside of your God, it ought to make your enemy look very small. You know, when you're subject to collapse, when you're subject to faint spiritually, it's when you start thinking about how big your enemy is. And your faith, my friend, don't want to view the enemy as big, but wants rather view God as big. If you live by sight, and I'm trying not to get hung up here, if you live by sight, you're going to think the enemy is undefeatable. You're going to think the enemies are invincible. You cannot conquer them. Just like when the spies went over to the land of Canaan. Remember that? They went over there. There's 12 of them. One out of each of the 12 tribes. They went over there as a group. And they came back divided. 10 of them and said, oh, we can't do it. Why can't we do it? Well, there's giants over there. And we are as what? We, God's people, are grasshoppers. The enemy, giants. And they said, we can't do it on account of the bigness of the enemy. That's basically what the summary was. The walled cities, everything over there is big. We can't do it. But what did Joshua and Caleb come back saying? Oh, we can do it, boys. We can do it. You know why? They weren't looking at the giants. They was looking at God. See, you can't see the giants if you're looking at God. They kind of pale out into insignificance when you got your sight set on the one the Bible said is so big that He sits upon the throne and His footstool is the earth. One that's so big, Isaiah said, that's so big that He measures the heavens with a span. Y'all don't think that's big? How many of y'all think that's big? That's pretty big. Let me tell you how big that is. Let me just give you a little inclination of our little solar system called the Milky Way. Just our little one. See if I can find it here. I wasn't planning on using this. Watch me not have it here. Anyway, I was going to write down. Let's see, where's that at? Well, we know what the sun's 93 million miles away from the earth. 93 million. But our light, I wish I could find that. I don't have it wrote right here. I thought it did. The book of Genesis wrote that down. But how many light years it takes to go from one end of our Milky Way to the other? How many hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of years at light traveling at 186,000 miles per second take to go across our Milky Way? Lord said, right, but about a thumb to fingertip space. He's big. Oh, listen, if you're not careful, you'll not let the giants run your life. You'll let your grasshopper faith run your life. See, it wasn't the giants that Brother J.R. that kept them out of the land of Canaan. It was really the grasshoppers that kept them out of the land of Canaan. Oh, if we view, my friend, the giants and the difficulties of life through the bigness of our God, it will certainly help us. Amen. And we'll do like they did there in the book of Exodus. They'll say, hey, they're just bread for us. Amen. They're just bread for us. I heard Brother, who was it? Brother Milby, Hanley Milby, I think he preached out of that passage there where it said there that those giants and all that, fish things and all that, they're just bread for us. He preached on, well, somebody pass the bread. Amen. Oh, but let me get with you here. I'm talking about our defense, brother. Our defense is from the Lord. He personally is our defense. It's not what He does for His dispatching help. He is our defense. I like that. He is our defense. Now, verse 9, David said there, because of His strength will I wait upon thee. David said, now first thing I recognize here, I recognize the strength of my enemy. David, listen, David didn't underestimate his enemy. David didn't downplay and say, "Oh, they're a bunch of weaklings, I can handle it." But David knew their strength, and therefore it caused him to wait upon the Lord. Here's what I just kind of wrote down what that's saying here. Because of the strength of my persecutor, I will turn myself to Thee, O God, and leave my matters in Thy hand. Because of the strength of my enemy and my persecutors, knowing their strength, he said it's going to cause me to leave my situation into the hands of God and trust Him with the outcome. My place is to wait upon the Lord. That's a hard thing for me to do, I'll just be honest with you. But he said there, David said, because of his strength will I wait upon the Lord. Amen. I'll trust my enemy's strength with the Lord. And I'll wait till God works. Boy, David knew something right there, and that is that all men are subordinates to the sovereignty of God. David knew that, Brother Aaron. David knew that all those people that had gathered around his house to watch him, to kill him, he knew that really their strength was underneath the sovereignty of God. Amen. I like that myself. David's saying, not only do I know their strength in verse 9, but David knows where his strength, verse 17, unto Thee, O my strength. See, David knew their strength, and therefore he said, I'm going to wait on God. But then he said in verse 17, I know where my strength is, and it's God. And he's praying to Him. He said, unto Thee, O my strength. Amen. Well, I like that. I know there's a lot of things right there that we need to try to get a hold of. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10 that it's in a time, it's when I am weak, he said, then am I strong. So it's in the time of our weakness. Here's a little, I got this, wrote it down, a little poem. It said, when it seems no chance nor change, from grief can set me free, hope finds its strength in helplessness. And patiently waits on Thee. Boy, I like that. Amen. Well, I got to looking at that word defend. And as I said earlier, the definition means a high place, a refuge, a secure height, a retreat, or a lofty, inaccessible place. That's our defense. And I just got to thinking about the defense. I got a lot more to preach tonight than I can get done. I can go see that. I'd rather have too much if not enough. Amen. But listen, the word there, when I got to thinking about defense, it noted three little small things, truths to my heart that you and I are to get some help from. One, it talks to me, number one, about the position of the Lord. Brother Chuck, you and Brother Jacob, come here, please. Brother Jacob, you're going to be my enemy over there. All right, now if Brother Chuck and Brother Jacob is aggressive, he's hostile, he's watching me for an opportunity to kill me. And I'm asking Brother Chuck to defend me. Brother Chuck, move into position, please, to defend me, if you would. I didn't even tell him that. I didn't give no pre-training or education to Brother Chuck. It's just an understood position that if a person is going to be a defense, they've got to be in the middle. So don't get too excited tonight that if you're in a sick problem or you're going through something and he's your defense, that just lets you to know that he's in the middle of it. That lets you know that between you and the intention of the enemy is your defender, your defense. Well, I don't know about you, but I like that. It tells me about the position of the Lord. You say, where's the Lord at? I tell you where He's at. He's between me and the enemy. And I tell you what, the enemy knows that. And I tell you what, I better know that. It'll keep you from falling to pieces if you realize that between you and your problem, between you and your valley, between you and your battle, there is the all-sufficient, proven, faithful, trustworthy God who is our defense. I like it, Him being my defender. You know why? I like God being my defense because He's never lost a battle. Now, if He had took a licking a few times, you know, then I'd be wondering if this was going to be another one of those times. But you see, our God, Brother Aaron, has never lost a fight. He's never met up with an obstacle. He's never met up with a situation to where He wrung His hands and shook His head and said, I'm sorry, I can't handle this. It's too big. It's too bad. I don't know how. I can't do it. Never has. He is the champion. That means He's took them all on and whipped them all and stands as the undisputed champion, praise God, of all time. He is our defense. So it just tells me a little bit about the position of the Lord. And then it tells me something about the perception of the Lord. Now I'm skipping a bunch of stuff right here because I want to get some more later on. For Him to be my defense, it not only talks to me about His position, but it also tells me about His perception. That is, He knows something. What do you know, brother? Tell me what you know about me and Him right here. Do you know where the defense is? I mean, do you know where the attack's coming from?
Yeah.
Right there. Do you know the one that's being attacked?
You
are. Okay. Now, don't let that bless you too much. That the God of heaven knows where the enemy is. Now you don't know that all the time. In fact, He is so deceptive. He is a master of camouflage. My friend, He is a master at disguise that He'll get in a seat and ride to work with you and you'll talk to Him and have conversation with Him and not even know and not be aware that it is the enemy. I'm telling you, friend, a lot of times we don't know where he's at. Right now, I couldn't tell you the next plot and plan of the enemy for my destruction. I don't even know where he's at. I know who he is. He's the prince and power of the air. I know that. He's the enemy of the soul. He looks to destroy me. But I can't say, well, right there he is. Right there he is. And by the way, he can't be but at one place at a time. He's not omnipresent.
Right.
But you see, here's a blessing. Y'all ready for this, Brother Preston? I don't have to know where he's at.
Amen.
I don't have to wear my bed out tossing and turning, and my friend, amen, and just tossing and turning and watering a pillar, amen. And son, honey, ask you, so, well, what are you fidgety about? Well, I'm trying to figure out where the enemy's at. No, I tell you what I can do. I can put it all on my defense. Thank God I can rest in Him knowing where the enemy's at. The perception. He's my defense. He's not only positioning Himself between me and the enemy, but He's also, my friend, He perceives where the enemy's at. Psalm 23, what is it, verse 4, is it, I guess, where He said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With the same hands that He's fixed and prepared me a table, it's the same hand that He's a holding back the enemy and said, hey, you leave him alone. That's the sheep of my pasture. That's my people. And it's time for them to feed. Keep your hands off of them. Oh, glory to God. That same defense knows where the enemy is. I mean, actually, how could he defend us if he didn't know where the enemy's at? And here's why some of you, my friend, and I get there every once in a while, why I get in a mess spiritually, and I come in with a petulia, I come in with a long, sad face, is because me in this role reverses. I'm trying to do it.
You know? That's why our testimony at church consists of, y'all pray for me. Me and the devil, man, he's been a fighting me. No, he's about to kill me. Well, why are you fighting him? You're not the defender. You're not to defend yourself. Thank God, put him in charge. Let God take it. Let God handle it. The battle's the Lord's. Amen. See, you don't read this right here in 1 Samuel, what is it, 17, about David and Goliath? Come here, Brother Chuck. You stay right there, Goliath. Now, you don't read this in 1 Samuel 17. But he talked about Goliath coming out there against David, a little old bitty 16-year-old boy, coming against him with a sword and shields and staves and all of this, you know, the champion. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. It don't say that word for word, but that's what happened when he said, thank God, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Who's his Lord? It's his defender. Thank God. And he come out toward that giant. I ain't worried about you. You don't scare me. You think God, you're 10 foot tall, you're going to scare me? Because I want to tell you, this bad boy right here has already took care of the lion and the bear, and he's going to take care of you, praise God. That's what he did. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And he probably come up to him real close and said, check that out, brother, Mr. Goliath, not even shaking. I'm not even nervous. Look at there, steady as a rock. Why? Because of my position is where it needs to be. Oh. But then, of course, what is definitely clear to see here is not only him being our defense suggests the position of the Lord and the perception of the Lord, but it also talks to me about the protection of the Lord. That is, for anything that he wants to do to me, little old me, got to go through my defense. Woo! Glory to God, I like that. I need to remember that next time I'm in the problem, amen, going through it. Amen. Listen, the devil can't do nothing to you unless he first... I like this part right here. I'm going to play the offender, the mean one here. If he's wanting to get to the David over there, wanting to get to you, I like this. I mean, he's over here, you know, big and bad, you know. I can take you. I'm going to cause you some major trouble on Monday morning. I'm going to cause some problems in your life. That's what he does. He's jumping up down. Ha, 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 I'm going to get you, man. Then that boy, you ain't looking. He said, can I touch him? Would it be all right if I touch him? Huh? Oh, the devil don't want you to know that. But the Bible reveals that to be the truth. He has, the book of Job reveals that. He has to get permission. The protection of the Lord. And I want to tell you, friend, whatever gets to me had to pass through him. And here's the thing about him, God being my defense, is that the Word of God teaches us that he will not put on us over here more than we can bear. Amen. He knows our limitations. He knows our breaking point. He knows our melting point. And so he's going to make sure that there's none of that over there pass over to here. But what he first says, checked it out and permitted it. And you know what that ought to do right over here in this circle? You know what that ought to do right over here? There ought to be piles of peace over here. Not peace is, but peace. I mean, brother, I ought to be able to have peace. I ought to have joy. I ought to be able to praise God. I ought to be able to thank God, be able to have a positive attitude. Why? Because all of my trust, all of my faith is not in the old bicep, but it is in my defense. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Amen. I was going to just deal with some things there, but I'm going to ease on. Y'all couldn't have we'd have probably been laughing the building if I'd have got on all that about the position. Because in the Bible, you can show where he's above us, where He's behind us, where He's beside us, where He's beneath us, where He's before us. And the New Testament shows He's in us.
Amen.
What do we got to worry about? What do we got to fret and fear about? My friend, we've got a defense that's not just one place. He's above us. He's below us. He's beside us. He's before us. He's behind us. Amen. And He's in us. Oh, thank God for the position of our defense. Protection. Perception. You know, Jesus said there several times in the New Testament when they tried to trick Him. I'm talking about our defense. Talking about that perception. They tried to pull a deal trying to catch Jesus. And Jesus just looked at him and said, I know your heart. I know what you're plotting and what you're thinking and what you're saying. Oh, boy, isn't that a good... Now, don't get too excited about that. That's our Lord. That's my defense, Brother J.R., demonstrating that He has a perception. He has a knowledge of what the devil, the enemy of the soul, is trying to plot and plan. Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them. Luke 6:8, but He knew their thoughts and said. Amen. Let me hurry on and deal with this real quickly. I got a few minutes. Listen to this. Oh, Lord help us. We could have a time tonight if we can get a hold of all this.
Amen.
Lord, give me this evening. And I'm sure there's more, but I found four things that speaks of our defense. And I'm just going to give them to you. They're all preachable. I mean, they could be preached up one side and down the other. Number one, shade. Psalm 121:5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And guess what the word shade means? Of course it means shadow, protection, and oh, guess what else? Defense. All of these four things that I'm going to mention is in between me and the enemy. Amen. It's, in other words, they're catching the heat. Just like a shade. Just like the shade. Whatever object is allowing that is making the shade, that object's taking the heat. I'm in the shade, praise God. I'm in the shade, kicked back. Like a pig in the sunshine. Amen. Praise God, I'm relaxing. You say, but don't you feel all that heat? Don't you feel all that heat? No, because that object right up there between me and the heat source is catching all the heat. I'm just getting the shadow. I'm just getting the shade. Amen. Well, that right there will preach, I'm telling you. Psalm 57:1, same, the word shade is there meant translated shadow. Hear what it says. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Just like them little, I call them diddles. I think y'all call them divvies up here. Diddles? Doodles? Boy, y'all are redneck, I'm telling you. Doodles. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, have you ever seen in a time of storm? I've seen it, brother, when we used to have chickens. Grandma used to have chicken stuff. But it'd be raining cats and dogs. And you think, well, them little diddles is going to, or doodles or divvies, they're going to drown. But you know where they're at? They're up under the shadow, up under the shade of those wings. But you know who's catching all the storm? Mama, the one that can handle it. Amen! Glory! Here's another one. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the
shadow of the Almighty. Isaiah 4:6, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat.
Amen.
And for a place of refuge, for a covert from storm and from rain. Isaiah 25:4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat.
Amen.
So you can talk about our defense being a shade. Number two, you could talk about our fence being a shelter. Psalm 61:3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Guess what one of those definitions of the shelter is? Defense!
Amen.
Thank God for the shelter of our Lord. Another one, number three, is the shield. I'm telling the Lord, give me this today. I want to tear the living room couch where I was sitting studying all the pieces. Amen. Listen to this. Here's Genesis 15:1 talking to Abraham. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Guess what the word shield means? Defense. It takes the heat. What meant to hit me is hitting my shield.
Amen.
The Lord's my shield. Abraham, I'll be your shield. I'm going to be your shield and your exceeding great reward. 2 Samuel 22:3, the God of my rock, in whom I will trust, He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Psalm 3:3, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. Psalm 5:12, for Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Psalm 33:20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. I'm telling you, there's a lot of verses dealing with that. But you know there's another one? Not only a shade, a shelter, a shield, but also a sacrifice. Sacrifice. I'm talking about the in-between that catches it all. The sacrifice. Jesus, well, of course you know all those Old Testament sacrifices. That wrath of God that was justly directed to the people went on that sacrifice. In other words, you could say that sacrifice served as a defense. It took the heat and let the people go free. Guess who all of them types and shadows of the Old Testament was looking, pointing to? The Lamb of God, the New Testament, the last and final God sent sacrifice. Took the heat of God's wrath upon Him so that you and I, my friend, that we should have got it. We deserved it. That cross was mine. That crown of thorns was mine. My friend, that mutilation was mine. All that brutal beating was mine. The scourging was mine. But instead, it coming to me, it went on my defense. My sacrifice is what is defending me from the wrath of God.
Amen.
You better believe that's why I love Him tonight. Because He's my defender. He's the reason I'm not going to hell. He's the reason that I'm not going to suffer underneath the condemning law of God. Because He died for me. Lord Jesus, help us. Amen. Y'all getting all of this in one message, what I thought would be two messages. I'm going to give you these three things and I'm done. Don't ask me what was the main points. It's just all the message. Amen. How does He defend us? I'm going to mention three things. Number one, He defends us by exaltation. Let me give you that. He defends us by exaltation. Remember the definition? Remember the definition of the word defend? Let me find it right here. It means a high place, a retreat, an inaccessible place. In other words, how does He defend us? He elevates us out of reach. of the enemy.
You say, but preacher, how did he do that? I just saw that. How did he do that with David? David was in the house. Outside the house was Saul's army watching to kill him. You know how he did it, Brother Seals? Deliver me. Oh my God. Defend me. And you know what God did? God didn't reach down into that house and physically get him and take him up out of reach. But he got down there and picked him up spiritually and took him out of the reach. That's how he could sing. That's how he could sing in the house. Is because physically he was in the house. Physically he was in the house. But spiritually he wasn't in the house. Physically the enemy was outside. But spiritually he wasn't worried about them. Why? He turned it all over to the defender. And he had through prayer and faith and trust and confidence, my friend, allowed God to reach down and pick his spirits up and elevate his faith and his focus off of the enemy to higher heights that was out of reach of the enemy. Boy, it'd be good if you and I could allow the God of heaven, our defense, to exalt and elevate us. Praise God, to a place that when the devil's crowd starts railing out their persecutions and their mockeries and their joshing and their jokings and things that meant to pull us down and stomp us down and tear us down, we'll just be able to say, hey, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me because I'm out of reach. You're down there, I'm up here. You don't think that's possible? Read Acts 7. Stephen being stoned, brother. He wasn't saying, ouch, and oh, somebody feels sorry for me. No, he was full of the Holy Ghost and he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw Jesus standing there in the glory of God. Amen. You know what happened? Brother, God elevated his focus and his faith above what was going on. How does he do it? With elevation. Listen, I got the verses right here. Let me give you 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 verses. And all 4 of these verses has got that word defense translated in it as, I'll just read them to you. Psalm 69:29. Oh God, here it is. Takes 1, 2, 3, 4. Took 4 words to translate that one word. Set me on high. Psalm 91:14. I will, here it is, set him on high. Same word now translated defense. Psalm 107:41. Yet setteth he the poor on high. Psalm 139:6. Here's probably the best one to illustrate what I'm talking about. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Of course, it was talking about the knowledge of God in that text. But I'm telling you, if you take the 2 words used there, defense, in our text passage, and the word there translated, it is high, same word. In other words, he's talking about what is so high that you cannot attain unto it. You can't touch it. You can't reach it. We ought to let the devil, my friend, in the flesh and the world know that through our faith and trust in the Lord, they can't touch us. We're out of reach. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
We're out of reach. How does he defend us? By elevation. And I could say more about that. But here's another way that he defends us. What was that I just dealt with? Elevation. He now, I want to share with you, I wish I had time to preach these. This is what I meant to be the main message. But he defends us not only by elevation, but by representation. You know what Jesus is called in 1 John 2 and verse 1? How many knows? What's Jesus called in 1 John 2 and verse 1? Starts with an A. Advocate. Lord have mercy. That's right. My little children, write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Who is a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Guess what an advocate is? An advocate is a lawyer.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? If I were to get, for some reason, go to court, why would I want to defend myself when I don't know much about the law? Who would I want to represent me? A lawyer. One that knows the law. But here's a blessing. Oh, Lord, if we get a hold of this, I'm telling you what's the truth. You know what a lawyer does? A lawyer is the one that's doing all the arguing. A lawyer's doing all the studying, all the debating. And what is the accused doing? May not be smiling, but he's a sitting. Amen? In other words, he's putting all of his confidence in his defense. Who better can represent us than the judge himself? The Lord. The Lord. He's our advocate. Brother, he's the one that, my friend, represents us in accusations. Psalm 35:1, David said, "Plead my cause, O Lord. Plead my cause, O Lord." Let me give you this. You must write this down. Most of you know that. But that same word used as advocate, talking about Jesus in 1 John 2 and verse 1. About three or four different times in John 14, 15, and 16, the same word that's translated advocate there is translated comforter, talking about the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't want y'all to get too excited right here, but here's the truth that is saying. Where's Jesus at right now? Where's the Holy Spirit at? So I have a defense, amen, on high and in my heart. Amen. Oh, I can trust Him. I can leave it with Him. Amen. Amen. And then last of all, I want you to turn to look at this one. I'd like to preach on them more. Look at Romans 8. He not only defends us through the process of exaltation, and He defends us through the process of representation, but I like this one, buddy. He defends us through what I call cancellation. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Watch this. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You say, "Preach, what are you talking about?" Cancellation. We've been defended by the process of cancellation, or if you want to call it another biblical term, justification. Amen. And that is, thank God, because Jesus died in my place, all of the wrath of a broken law that should have been directed to a sinner, my friend, went to the Savior, my substitute. And here's what God says. After Jesus died and you receive Him and the blood's applied, God says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God, which is the chief of all, the judge of all. Nobody's higher than Him. If the highest of all has already stated acquittal, has stated justification, has stated forgiveness, who above Him is going to raise a finger and put a charge on God's elect? Why is it that God can do that? Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. He's defending us through justification. He's defending us through intercession. He's defending us. Oh, that's another one. He's defending us through intercession. The devil in the book of Revelation is called the accuser of the brethren. Not false accuser. You ever notice that? Not false accuser. It didn't say false accuser. It says accuser. In other words, he's bringing before the Lord real things that he knows you've done and said and thought.
Oh, that's true.
He knows better than to bring false accusations before an all-knowing God about stuff that he knows you didn't do and didn't think, didn't say, or whatever. He's bringing stuff that he sees that we've done, and he says, hey, look at Brother Chuck, or look at Brother, well, he won't say brother, but look at Chuck, look at Bear Rack, or whatever. Look at this. Look what they've done. Look what, huh? But you know why we're defended? It's because on the right hand of the Father is Jesus, who's making intercession for us, and that blood, Brother Bob, that's on the mercy seat, that blood, Hebrews 12 says, speaks better things than that of Abel. Huh? Oh, glory. We are defended people. And here's the thing I'm closing with, and I'm leaving it with you. If we're a defended people, we should never be a defeated people. I'm going to say that again. That is good. Lord, just give that to me. We, because we're a defended people, we should never be a defeated people. And if we are ever defeated, it's not because of a failure on our defense. But it's because probably I've got out of proper position.
Amen.
And got away from my defense and became an open target for the enemy. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for the good liberty you've given us tonight to preach. Lord, I pray you'll take the message and use it for your glory. Lord, help us to be appreciative tonight for our defense. Lord, I'm glad tonight that we're not left to defend ourselves. Lord, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Lord, we're to yield all of that to you and let you handle it. The battle's yours. Retaliation is not supposed to be on our part. But we'll submit that to the trustworthy hands of God. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll take this message that you put in my heart this week and speak to us with it. Lord, I know there's several in our church that's being attacked, several in our church that's undergoing problems and burdens. And I really believe that you sent this message to our church this week to encourage the people of God about who it is that is our defender and our defense. Lord, I praise you tonight that you're able to take the heat that the devil and the flesh and the world's trying to put on us. Lord, help us to be like David when the troubles come, not to collapse and cave in, but to pray and be determined that we're going to stay with the Lord and walk with God and sing and praise the Lord. Father, we pray you'll take the message tonight and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name.